Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, the television voice of the Miami Heat. We miss him very much. He's Eric Reed. Hey, Eric, good morning. How you doing today?
Good morning, Zaz and Amber. Hope you guys are well, and happy to report that all is well with Team Reed up here in Boca Raton.
Did you watch? Were you dialed into the Last Dance on ESPN on Sunday night?
Of course. Listen, with The Walking Dead and Curb Your Enthusiasm both in hiatus, what else you got on Sunday night? So, yeah, I was looking forward to it, and really felt like the 2 hours just flew by and learned a lot, had a lot of great memories of one of the greatest players in NBA history, rekindled, and really excited to watch the rest of that series unfold.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if anything in it was new to you or if you did learn anything, and it sounds like you did because you're such a basketball guy, of course, and I'm sure you remember that era quite well. So what was new for you? What did you learn?
Well, it was just interesting. You know, I think that the number one thing is learned to, you know, a little bit more appreciation of what Scottie Pippen went through as the greatest co-star and, you know, one of the greatest co-stars in NBA history. I'd forgotten or didn't realize how underpaid he was through, you know, what appeared to be most of his career. And you know, it's funny, you see the enigma of their greatness, of the Reinsdorf, Kraus ownership and leadership, and you know they built a dynasty, and then you know had it end when it ended, and with some bad feelings there, and you could see the root of some of Pippen's frustrations throughout, you know, that majestic time for him.
Eric, what did you know? I mean, if you could remember, because we're talking over 20 years, what did you know at the time going into that 98 season? You know, going into that season, the Heat just came off of their first ever Eastern Conference Finals appearance. They lost to those Bulls, who ended up winning their fifth championship. How much were you aware going into that final season of the problems as far as we're not going to keep Phil? Michael Jordan is saying, I won't play for another coach. How much were you aware of their internal issues?
Well, a lot of that was public, you know, that Phil was going to be in his last year. That I remember as being public, and Michael's unhappiness with it, and, you know, that very tender balance when you're presiding over a dynasty of when to make changes, and even more important, when to make significant changes. So it was controversial back then. It's cool that they brought that to light, but I'm just glad that it's time. You know, when you think of the game's great players, I think, you know, when you think back to history, you see a lot of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, historical documentary footage, things on all kinds of media platforms about those two. I think Will Chamberlain and Bill Russell have been sort of swept into the background, and you don't see that much anymore. But certainly with Jordan, there's been, listen, plenty of memories, but nothing to delve into his career like this. And I think the time is perfect, not only because we're starved for sports right now. But it's been 20 years. And Zaz, I think my best Jordan memories for me, you know, as they intersect with the Heat, was going back to the 92 playoffs, because it was the first year the Heat made the playoffs. It was the fourth year of the franchise. We saw a lot of the homegrown players that we drafted, you know, have really good seasons. So that was a year your man Glenn Rice averaged 22 points a game for Kevin Lockery's first team after Ron Rossi and laid the groundwork over the first 3 years. And, you know, that Heat team made the playoffs as the eighth seed. They got blown out in the first two games at Chicago. Jordan had monster games in both, and they were not competitive games. But Game 3, remember, was a best-of-five series in the first round back then. So Game 3 in 92 was the Heat's first-ever home playoff game at Miami Arena. The electricity, the feeling of pride that night for all of us, that took part in that game, fans included, was unforgettable. It was, you know, first ever in franchise history. And you had Michael Jordan and these Chicago Bulls there. And, you know, I guess Jordan played like 36 holes of golf the day before and came out, and the Heat held him. It was like our best quarter in our franchise history, that first quarter of our first home playoff game, raced out to, I think, a 31-19 lead after one quarter, held Jordan to 2 points. I thought the roof of the Miami Arena was going to pop off at that moment. Of course, Jordan scored 54 the rest of the way, but the Heat played a very competitive game. They ended up losing 119 to 114. And Zaz and Amber, I think it was the only time in our 32-year history of the franchise that I ever remember feeling okay after not only a playoff loss, but a series-ending playoff loss. Yet I don't think anybody left the building feeling bad that night. I remember signing off by saying something like, hey, you know, got swept out, but we'll be back. We'll be back. And it just was that feeling of we took our first big step. Listen, nobody knew the kind of magic and history that would unfold for the Heat as the years wore on. But that was the first step into the playoffs and the first taste for Heat fans to feel what the playoffs actually feel like.
You're right. You know, Amber, you were young, Amber, and you also didn't live down here. But the Heat, we were smoking them after the first quarter. The Heat actually had a 5-point lead after the third quarter, okay? And then in the fourth quarter, it was a whole lot of Michael Jordan, and the Bulls end up winning the game. But I want you to tell me this, Eric. You know, when we talk about Michael Jordan and maybe we talk about him against LeBron, my opinion could be skewed a little bit because I watched Jordan as a kid as opposed to watching LeBron as an adult. And when I was a kid watching Michael Jordan and we were facing him, I felt we didn't have a chance, okay? If the Heat were playing Jordan, we're so screwed. He felt invincible. And I never felt that way about LeBron, but that could be because I'm a child versus I'm an adult. Now, you were obviously an adult calling the games in both of those eras. So can you speak on that? Because I felt Jordan, when we were facing him, there was an invincibility.
Well, it's certainly a great discussion to compare and contrast and try to rank those two guys. I think it's really hard. It's all opinion-based. You know, did they get to square off against each other? No. So that would be, you know, that would have been very, very interesting. But, you know, the differences physically, you know, LeBron with the greater size that God gifted 6'7", 6'8", 250 chiseled pounds. Jordan was probably, you know, in the 6'4 area. But and LeBron, you know, if you compare stats, better rebounder, better playmaker. In terms of assists, but I think the intangible, you know, listen, no, all those championships Jordan won, all those clutch, crucial moments, he was truly at his best on the big stage when his team needed him most. And LeBron has built some of that. I don't think as much as Jordan built up over his career. So I think that's probably where the difference in perception and reception probably lies. I feel blessed that, you know, as an NBA fan and actually as an NBA broadcaster, I got to experience, enjoy, observe both of them. LeBron, obviously, at a much closer distance, you know, during his 4 years here. So what a gift. What a gift for all basketball fans to have seen both of those guys, arguably two of the best three or four players to ever play the game. And Heat fans saw plenty of both, and we feel thankful for that.
Eric, from a fan perspective, when Michael Jordan was in the building, okay, Miami Arena, playing against the Heat, he was only there two times a year. And of course, you knew what the traveling circus was like from 2010 to 2014 when, you know, the Heat's big three were going from city to city. Can you compare what it was like when the Heat, when those Heat teams would go arena to arena and the way the fans were and maybe in awe of those guys to what it was like when Michael Jordan would come to town and what the fan base was like? Because I remember as a kid, it was an incredibly difficult ticket to get if Michael Jordan and the Bulls were in town.
Yeah, and you remember back to a very stormy time in Heat history, and Jordan had a hand in this too, maybe getting off topic with you, but it just jumped back into my head when there was the civil disturbance in downtown Miami and the Grove and Overtown after a very controversial trial had ended in Miami. And a Heat game actually against the Phoenix Suns at the Miami Arena had to be postponed. They canceled the game. We were at the arena. Both teams were there. The game was canceled for fear of bringing people into downtown Miami during a very tumultuous time of civil unrest. And it was a real fork in the road, I thought, for the Heat franchise because, you know, would the fear linger? You know, there was still that debate about, you know, would fans come to a downtown arena in Miami? Downtown was a whole lot different 30 years ago. And the very next game following that, of all things, it was against Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls. And maybe if it was any other opponent, attendance would have diminished for that particular game, and maybe that trend would have grown, but it was Jordan and the Bulls, and 15,000 people packed the building, and there was never an issue after that with attendance and people being hesitant to come to Heat games in downtown Miami. So another situation where Jordan's career intersected with an important moment in Heat history. But listen, it was an entourage like none other when the Bulls were winning six championships in 8 years. Social media wasn't prevalent then, so maybe it was under the volume of what it is right now, but it was the greatest basketball show on earth. The Heat got to experience it for the 4 years of the Big Three, where every single game, you're on a huge stage. You're the biggest game on every team's schedule. Fans have waited all year to see your team play, and whether they boo you at the beginning of the night, they'll probably be cheering you by the end of the night. And that's the way it was for Jordan's Bulls, and that was the way it was for LeBron, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh in the Heat. They came in as the evil empire, and they left with fans knowing they got treated to a great basketball show. And I think most fans walked away with a feeling of respect and admiration, even if it was distant, for two teams that experienced, you know, real greatness.
Eric, do you remember watching Michael Jordan's 63 points against those 86 Celtics? Do you remember watching the game live, maybe in your bedroom or with your family, whatever?
I remember it. Yep. You know, so many of the memories go together, but there are, you know, we always watch the finals no matter how long it's been and study the playoffs as best you can. But seeing those highlights again and hearing the way Bird and Magic talked about Jordan, he was the next guy. And I think both of those guys, Bird and Magic, with, you know, historic resumes and big egos themselves, I think they each knew that this guy was even better and even more special. And it was cool to see the respect that both Larry Bird and Magic Johnson had for Michael even back then. So it was a great era of NBA history. It got frustrating at times because they were the immovable object in the Eastern Conference. And no matter how, you know, some of it's the timing of when you have your best teams. And I feel sorry for all the teams that had their best teams when Michael Jordan and those Bulls were reigning supreme and destroying other people's dreams of championships.
The Knicks and the Jazz have to be the two teams thinking of there, right?
Well, those two in particular, you know, but anybody that had hopes. But, you know, I can still see Michael's push-off on I think it was Shandon Anderson. He pushed out of the way there. But, you know, Jordan just made play after play. And you saw it with LeBron, you know, the moments that a Mario Chalmers might have or a Shane Battier or a Mike Miller. The role players become legendary because they're elevated to a stage where, you know, they can really take advantage of their skill or their moment. And you are blessed if you are a role player or a teammate. Now, it might not have been the easiest thing to be, you know, role players on championship teams is not an easy thing, especially when you have leaders as demanding as Michael Jordan was. But what a payoff. A payoff that lasts a lifetime and then some.
Eric Reed, Heat Television voice. Appreciate catching up with you as always. And it looks like, correct me if I don't have this right, but it looks like do we have a doubleheader tonight on Fox Sports Sun where we're re-airing 2006 Finals? Does that sound right? Am I reading this correctly?
Yes, you are right on target with that, Zez. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to mention it. Fox Sports Sun, in conjunction with the Miami Heat, beginning a series of classic rebroadcasts tonight at 6 p.m. You'll see Game 3 of the 06 Finals, and that'll be followed by Game 4 of the 2006 Finals, Heat versus Mavericks. You remember we lost the first two games as the series had shifted back to Miami. Every one of those next three games was must win with a potential game 6 and 7 at Dallas. So it's a great chance for all of us to sort of flash back to our first championship and those four wins where Dwayne Wade reached the pinnacle of his future Hall of Fame career. It's going to be neat because we're going to have Udonis Haslem be a part of Thursday's broadcast. We're going to get a chance to talk with Udonis. You'll hear from Pat Riley as this thing moves on and hopefully some others. So you'll see all of Miami's finals victories from 6, 12, and 13 over the next few weeks. So it's going to be a nice stroll down memory lane for Heat Nation.
Terrific job, Eric. I'm into that tonight. Amber, you watching that tonight? Amber, you're in, right? Come on. Amber, you're in. Amber, tell
I'm
us.
In.
Go ahead.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm in.
Eric, she's in.
Hey, this is 13, 14 years ago. History has preserved it well, and it is nice to sort of kick your feet up and know what the outcome was, but just plug back in to the greatness of that team and the jubilation of what it felt like for the franchise to win its very first championship. Pretty cool.
Good job, Eric. Be well. Appreciate you.
Same, guys. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.